the 4th chapter of Proverbs. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Amen. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Amen. You may be seated. We need wisdom. That's the principal thing that we need, according to the Word. But in all of our getting, we're instructed to get some understanding. And that's where the problem is. A lot of people just don't understand. Just don't understand. I want to go to the book of Acts and read some things that are misunderstood by many. Amen. Acts comes before Romans and after John. Amen. There's a scripture here that we often quote and we refer to, and it's like singing the same song over and over and over. But we're happy to bring this scripture forward because it's dear to us. And we know of many people today who avoid this scripture because they just don't understand it. They just don't understand it because it's not consistent with what they believe. It doesn't back up what they've been taught. It's not consistent with mainstream teaching about God. And so when people learn about God, and it's wise to learn about God, that's a very necessary thing to do. Have the wisdom to learn about God. But in all your getting of wisdom, also be sure to try to get some understanding. Because if you learn about God and you don't come to know God, you may miss out on getting to stay with God. Now, I'm not here today as a fighter or as a person that wants to upset anybody. But let me tell you something. You're not going to go to most churches and hear what I've got to say today because they do not teach it. And so if it's going to get taught, it's going to have to be coming from somebody that will teach it. We call ourselves different names, and we've been called many names. But we are basically Jesus' name. And there starts the tenseness when we start talking about the name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, if you use it for a swear word, Jesus Christ as a swear word, you can pretty much get along in life without a lot of trouble from anybody. But when you start recognizing the power of the name of Jesus, you make enemies. You cause people to become divided, and some misunderstand, and they hold grudges, and there's division over that name, and there's confusion over that name. And some would say, well, is God the author of all that confusion? No, God delivers you from all that confusion, which is a result of the one that did cause it, being out there jumping in front of your pathway, and your pathway to intercept you when you're on your way to serve God. The confusion comes from a lack of knowledge. You get God in your life and start knowing who He really is and what He really requires. then it'll be all right if some don't understand as far as your part goes. Because as long as you know you're okay, then you just get stronger and just keep abounding and keep trying to find ways to let them know you care, but you won't bend. You love, but you won't compromise. You're there as family or friend, but God comes first. And His truth is necessary, because the Word teaches us that we are to hold fast to the truth, to buy the truth and sell it not. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. And so Acts 2:38 is the answer to a question that many people ask. Many people ask today, so what shall I do? How do I get saved? What must I do? What's the requirement that God has for my life, for me to be able to please God? That question was a very honest and sincere question before it was written in the book that we call the Bible. The reason it was so sincere and so honest and from the heart was because those that were asking the question had just been consenting to the death of Jesus Christ on a cross. They had been willing to see Him die. And many of them had gone along with the crowd saying, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him! We want nothing to do with Him." And then in Jerusalem, there was a great feast day, holiday going on, but there was a little group of people gathered in a certain place waiting for something to happen, because the one they had followed that had been crucified had instructed them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Wait for the promise, the Holy Ghost. Now, some people are afraid to even say that. It's offensive to some to say Holy Ghost. But come now, let us reason together. Isn't it in the Bible? What's wrong with saying, "I thank God for the Holy Ghost"? The reason it's offensive to some people kind of close their ears when they hear the word Holy Ghost, and they say, "Wouldn't it be better to say Holy Spirit?" It really makes no difference. The problem you're having is there is a spirit that's not holy that's trying to prevent you from coming to the understanding of the wonderful, beautiful truth that will set us all free. You see, the Word of God teaches that without the Spirit of God, you are none of His. That means if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't be a child of God. That is the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. In other words, we're not His children. Now, there's this mindset in the world that says we're all brothers, we're all sisters, we're all equal before God. Well, you're equal before God as a sinner, or you're equal before God as one of His children. But when it comes to the end of it all, there's going to be a whole lot of people saying, "What happened? I thought He loved me." He does. What you need is understanding. The God of love that we're testifying about in this place is also a God of truth. And He's a God who makes declarations. And He's a God who agrees with Himself to do certain things, and He makes covenants with people, but also as He makes the covenant, these are covenants that people may break, people may go against Him, but God never breaks His own word. So when He makes a promise to us, He also seals that promise in Himself, and when He says the wages of sin is death, He means it. And if we decide 200 years later, 500 years later, or 2,000 years later, well, we're living in a different time. We don't have to really accept it exactly like it reads. That doesn't change God. It's still what it was. And the question that was asked from a deep, sincere heart, because these people were guilty of something terrible. They had brought Jesus Christ to an open shame. They had called Him names, mocked Him, ridiculed Him, and some of them even had the audacity to spit on Him. slap him around and just ridicule him. Now here they are in Jerusalem, and they're hearing this noise coming from an upper room, and they're rushing to see what's going on over there, because noise draws a crowd. And on their way to the upper room, they're shouting out things, something's going on over there. And they meet somebody maybe coming from there. Somehow the conversation takes place. We read about it here in Acts, the first and second chapter. They started shouting slogans like, these people are just drunk. Those people in that room are drunk. They've been drinking. They've been drinking. They're drunk. They're having some kind of a party up there. They're drunk. They're all drunk. Just peep inside, you'll see what I'm talking about. And sure enough, they looked like they were drunk. Amen. They didn't quite understand yet, but they were about to get some understanding. And like I said, I'm not here to ruffle anybody's feathers. But really, I don't care if you're a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Episcopal, or any other group that I could name today, you should not get offended if somebody wants to talk good about the name of Jesus. That's who we try to worship, isn't it? And it's okay up to a point, but when we get to that Acts 2:38 part, it's just more than some folks can take. That's the, you might say, the line that makes the difference. And the same thing happens to the people of God as happened at the cross. When we start getting into this area of Jesus' name and we talk about it being necessary, then the crowd starts rising up, crucify them. They may not say those words, but they will treat you like they wish you were dead. And they will mock you because you're Jesus' name. And they will change Jesus' name to words like, you're Jesus only. And they will change, we just love the truth of the wonderful power of the name of Jesus. And you'll hear the crowd shouting back, yeah, you're Oneness Pentecostal. We've heard about them. And they will get in their pulpits and they say, stay away from those folks. They will poison your minds. They will brainwash you. What's this all about? What's going on? Maybe they had the wisdom to go to church, but not the understanding that you could get in any church if you would just read the Bible and put away all the commentaries. Thank you, Jesus. Some people are so filled with the comments that are in the commentaries that they don't know the Word of God. All they get is somebody else's opinion of what it means. I appreciate the Amplified Bible. It's good. But you need something beyond Amplified Bible to get this understanding I'm talking about. Understanding that God requires comes with revelation. You can't get it from a book. You can't get it from a teacher. But it can be taught and it can be read about. But if you want this, you're going to have to seek for understanding that comes from God. And once you get it, the Bible opens up like a flower. It's beautiful. Such a sweet-smelling fragrance. You start seeing things that you've heard about, talked about, and even criticized about. And now you see there's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. And when the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And already There are people that do not want to hear anymore because we've talked about speaking in tongues and we've talked about the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's time to move on. Skip on over to Romans and find out how everybody else is doing it. How about just kind of pause here for a moment and don't skip over to Romans? Because everybody in Romans paused here for a moment before they got to Romans. The letter to the Roman church is a letter written from Paul to people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and spoke in tongues when they received the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know that the people who were first called Christians, disciples, were first called Christians in a place called Antioch? You read about it in the Bible. The first time the word Christian was used, referring to the disciples of Jesus Christ, it was used concerning people who had been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, who had spoken in tongues and taught others that you will speak in tongues when you receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are the first people who were called Christians. Now, you can be called a Christian and live like any way you want to live in today's world. You can believe there is no God. If you want to associate with a Christian group, you can still be considered a Christian. Or you can believe that about anything you want to. You can believe the president is God. But if you go to church regularly and support the church, you're known as a Christian. Or you can believe you're God. We had a guy walking down the sidewalk some time ago and yelling real loud, "I'm God!" And I stopped him. I said, "I'm so glad you're here." And he said, "What?" I said, "I've been waiting to see you, God." And he got all confused and took off running down the street. That wasn't the God I was looking for. The God I'm looking for is going to embrace me when I come face to face with Him. He's going to love me. Hallelujah. I kind of had a feeling that wasn't Him, but I wanted to check Him out anyway. Because He kept yelling, "I'm God! I'm God!" I said, "Oh, great!" But He didn't want anything to do with me. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, these people in Jerusalem, they didn't understand what was going on. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Devout Jews were gathered there. But these Jews, in that particular time, in that setting, they were devout in their own beliefs and what they thought, and how they felt it could be and shouldn't be, and had been divided. Many of them had fought and argued over who this Jesus really is. And it seemed that the crowd that was negative toward Jesus had won the argument, because now He had been placed in a tomb. Now He'd been taken off a cross and had been pronounced dead, and life was going on. Hallelujah. And many of them were guilty of saying, "He can't be who He said He was," and so the best thing that could have happened was to just do away with Him. And here they were, hearing this sound, not understanding what's going on. Amen. Jews, devout Jews. Amen. You can be a devout Christian today and still miss this thing, folks. You can call yourself a Christian, go to church regularly, and be sincere and pray and do everything you know to do, try to seek after God, and still miss out on the most beautiful, beautiful revelation found in the Word of God. And that's just who Jesus really is. And what this name can really do for you. And what obedience and submission to God will cause to happen. Praise God. Because see, God sees every disobedient way as an act against God. God sees everything that's not submitted to Him as being unsubmitted and therefore an enemy to God. In one place, Jesus told His disciples, when they were talking about those people that believed something else, they were talking about Jesus. He said, "Well, at least they're mentioning Jesus." But He said to them in a conversation, He said, "If they're not for us, then they're against us." But He also said to them, "But if they're speaking the truth in so many words, leave them alone." Amen. Because God loves everybody. God loves every Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, Presbyterian. I've heard many people almost apologize for calling these names, saying, "We're not fighting you, please don't get mad at us." Well, we're not fighting you, but I'm not apologizing for calling your name because I'm trying to get your attention. There's more than what's taught in most of your churches that's available for you, and it's the most wonderful thing that can happen to you, and we're not your enemy for trying to lead you to this. We're not your enemy for trying to teach you that there's more power in the name of Jesus than what most of us have ever realized. Hallelujah. So there were all these Jews gathered out of every nation. And when it was noised abroad, the multitude came together. In other words, when they kept hearing word of mouth advertising, there's something going on in the upper room. It's noisy up there. Something's happening. Must be a party that's really going today. And so when it was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded. They were confused. They didn't know what was happening here. They were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they weren't supposed to be able to do that. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And there are many who will take this little passage of Scripture here and interpret it for you. Some will say, "Well, this is a one-time thing that God did only at that time and never would do it again because He wanted the miracle of them hearing the Word even though those people couldn't speak it. So that's why He changed their vocabulary so they could speak in their language." Isn't it great that man is so smart he can figure all this out? Amen. Others have said they just thought they were hearing it in their own language. They were hearing it in their own minds, and they were hearing the noise, and nobody really knew what they were saying because it was so noisy. They just wanted it to be what they wanted to hear. No, that can't be true, because the response that came after Peter spoke would not come from a crowd that's just wanting to hear what they want to hear. Amen. And besides that, it goes on, and it says in one of these passages right here that I'm getting ready to read, that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they all spoke with other tongues. All those people in that other upper room, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was there. It's amazing when you really think about it, just how it really is. The mother of Jesus became the daughter of Jesus. She became a child of God. She became a child of the King. The same thing that was required for you was required of Mary. Amen. This may be offensive to some, but we're not here to cause confusion. We're not here to fight you. We're here to enlighten you. There are a lot of people here who once worshipped Mary and thought they had to go to the mama in order to get to the son or in order to get to the father. But look, you got a direct link to Jesus if you want it today. You can go directly to Jesus for yourself, and mama will be glad you did. When she wakes up. I'm not going to get into that too far. But she's waiting just like everybody else is. Amen. Because she became a child of God just like you. That's not putting her down. I thank God. Blessed is that woman Mary, the one that brought our Savior into existence according to the Word of God, the virgin who brought forth a child and called His name Jesus, one who was able to obey God, one who was able to stand there and just be a vessel that God could use because she was so clean and so right for the time and so much in the center of God's will according to prophecy. God chose this wonderful person, a virgin, to conceive and bring forth our Savior. And we need to say, thank God for Mary. But if you're thankful for Mary, you should also want to have what Mary took a hold of. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to go through a chain of command in order to get to God. We're accused of being, sometimes, by the crowd that doesn't get the understanding, and neither do they use wisdom when they do this, of being what they call heretic. They say we deny the existence of the Trinity. And then sometimes we ask, well, so you explain what that is. And we get all kinds of explanations. And when we ask a few more questions, the bottom line answer we usually get is, well, nobody can really understand it. It's just a mystery. And then when we respond, I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, they have this cross-eyed look. Because they've been hearing a different report. Even Jesus believed in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And He has taught His disciples to teach about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So if anybody has told you, and I'm talking to a vast internet audience today, you're my amen corner. But if anybody has told you out there, brothers and sisters, that we're some kind of heretic cult that doesn't accept the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and we're those Jesus-only fanatics, one is Pentecostals, and here we are saying we believe in the Father, we believe in the Son, we believe in the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19 is a wonderful scripture. We love Matthew 28:19, and we are going into all the world teaching people to be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, if that's not what you expected to hear, here on this internet channel and on this channel wherever you may be watching us, pay attention, because you got the wisdom to turn us on. Now get the understanding while you're here that we're not quite off the deep end as bad as you thought we were. Hallelujah! Everybody praise Him. Hallelujah. But the difference in believing in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, as Jesus taught it, and as the disciples understood it, and they taught it, and became the apostles of the Lamb, teaching who the Father is, who the Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is. The difference is, Jesus taught it one way, and man, trying to force it upon other people who were religious, taught it another way, after all the disciples were dead, and after Jesus had ascended back into heaven. Later, hundreds of years later, the introduction of how you're supposed to believe this and the interpretation came of how you're supposed to see it. It's like a government leader standing up and saying, you can't make up your own minds anymore. We are going to tell you how you're supposed to understand what we want you to understand. That's what happened. And it has been passed down through all these generations. But if you want to get the whole truth, nothing but the truth, back on up to the original teacher, Jesus Christ Himself. He's teaching a woman at the well, and He says, God's seeking for some true worshipers. God is seeking for some true worshipers. He's looking for some people who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He's looking for true worshipers. He loves it when anybody worships Him, but He wants some true worshipers, people who worship God in spirit and in truth. You can't be a true worshiper if you've got God as a trio, three persons sitting side by side. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. When you say it like that, you're saying there are three gods. There's God one, God two, God three. God co-equal to God co-equal to God co-equal. This one has the same power as number two God. Number two God has the same power as number three God. Number three God has the same power as number one God. But when you ask people how many gods there are who say it like that, they say there's only one God. Then why not accept the way Jesus taught it? Because He taught that the Father is the Spirit. God is the Spirit. God is the Spirit. That is our Heavenly Father. The Son of God is the Son of that Spirit that made all things, that overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit and brought forth a child. Let me tell you who the Father of Jesus is. The Father of Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And He can't be a different Father than the Father of creation. The only Holy Spirit there is God. There is no other Holy Spirit. We don't have two Holy Spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. It wasn't the third person of the Trinity who brought forth the Son. And it wasn't the first person of the Trinity that brought forth the Son. But it was God who brought forth His Son. Who says, I will have no other God beside me. Beside me there is no God. Worship only the God. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. There is no other God. We're not fighting anybody, but in all you're getting, get understanding. Get understanding. Learn who we are because we represent something, although we may be small. At least we're not in a stable. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus had 12 followers. We've got more than that present today. Jesus told them to go in all the world. It would have taken them no telling how long to do that. And we're doing it right now as I speak. Hallelujah. 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 Because there are ears out there who are getting desperate today. It's not desperate to say, what's the difference in you, your church, and some other church. But it's desperate because times are tough. Times are tough. Life is pretty challenging. People are having a tough time economically. They're losing their homes, losing their jobs. All over the world there's restlessness and there's this struggle in life. And some people who thought they would never get serious about God are starting to search. Because they don't have anything to lose. They've already thought about taking their own life, but they don't really want to do that. But everything else they've done has just taken them to the pits. And they don't seem to have any answers. So somebody comes along and says, what have you got to lose? Try God. And we're just trying to be here on the internet in the midst of all the perverted ways of the internet and the deep darkness of the sins on the internet, out here in the pollution and the cesspool of the worldwide net, to make a difference if we can for just one more soul. Just one more soul. Out there in the midst of your searching in the darkness, we want to shine a light in your pathway and say, look, there is a real God. And you don't have to be deceived by some interceptor coming in your pathway saying, come over here to get your answer. Why go to a place that teaches you false God teaching when you're desperate to know the true God? Thank God for this sin cesspool internet. Because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So thank you, wicked people, for the internet. We're here. Hallelujah. And we're glad you're there. So we can be here. Praise God. We're not here to fight you because you're wicked. We're here to show you wicked people. God wants you to be righteous and holy. And find out there's a better way. There is a better way. Hallelujah. While I speak on the internet, we have a program called Pal Talk. Almost every Sunday while we're preaching Jesus to people around this world, there are people rising up on our Pal Talk chat program, right here listening to us live in these services, who are mad at us, who are saying terrible things about us, and they curse Jesus as we speak sometimes. And they write horrible things in the chat program. And we're not their enemy. Their enemy is a spiritual enemy. Their enemy is something that has already been cursed by the God that we serve and cast down. We're not here to discuss the difference between a Muslim and a Christian. God loves all Muslims. We're not against Muslims. We're here to tell all Muslims everywhere that we love you. And that's probably different than what you expected to hear coming from a Christian pulpit. Pakistan has had a tremendous revival. Thousands of Muslims have been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and they speak in tongues just like you did when you received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! I'm in touch every day with ministers from Pakistan who are praising God. And they were Muslim when they were born. They were raised Muslim. But today they are preaching Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, one God. Not just Pakistan, but Iraq and Iran. Some of my dearest friends are from Iran. They were raised there. You'll get to meet some of them one of these days. And what do they believe? They were raised Muslim. But today when you meet them, they'll come to this pulpit saying, there's one God, and His name is Jesus. God is not afraid to walk into Iran and show Himself openly to all the people to let them know what the truth is. Bullets don't cause God to run in fear and say, I'm afraid to go to Iraq. Some 2,500 people gathered right down in the middle of Baghdad today are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't make that up. I know what I'm talking about. I know the people who are in charge of that. Praise God. Who go there and risk their lives and they have their children there with them. Just because they're really sold out on this truth. This is really right. This is really right. Then the question comes. So men and brethren, what shall we do? That was the question that was asked. What shall we do? Does anybody know the answer to the question? What shall we do? Do any of you out there on the internet have that question? What must I do? What shall I do? Is there anybody that wonders, is there something you could do? Don't go to the ordinary religious crowd because some of them will say there's absolutely nothing you can do. That Jesus did it all and you don't have to do anything. But the Word of God has an answer. Hallelujah. The Word of God has an answer. And the answer found in Acts 2:38 of the question found in Acts 2:37 is the same answer that Matthew later wrote about, just as Luke later wrote about it in the book of Acts concerning the events that took place. Both Matthew and Luke were speaking the same thing concerning of what we should do. Luke recorded in Acts 2:38 one thing about the name that meant the same thing as what Matthew recorded in Matthew 28:19 concerning the name. Matthew recorded, and by the way, remember that Matthew was in that upper room. He received the Holy Ghost just at the same time Mary received the Holy Ghost. God had breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, and had opened their understanding. But in the upper room, no matter what experience they had before they got there, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Matthew was filled with the Holy Ghost while Peter was preaching what we see recorded in Acts 2:38. He was standing there. The Bible says what Peter was preaching. Peter was standing there with the 11. They were in one mind and they were in one accord. They were in full agreement. They were backing what Peter was saying in answer to the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? It was years later when Matthew sat down with pen in hand and wrote the account of what had happened. And he said in Matthew 28:19 that the Lord instructed us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach everybody, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you a question. What is the name of the Father? And what is the name of the Son? And what is the name of the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus taught His disciples, I came in my Father's name. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. He taught that God is a spirit. He taught that He prayed to the Spirit. The question comes, well, who was Jesus praying to when He knelt down and said, Father? He was praying to the Father. Who do you think He was praying to? The understanding is that Father is not a person. Father is a spirit. God is a spirit. So God, the Spirit, and the Son of God in the Spirit, with the Spirit of God in the Son, still remains one God without two persons side by side claiming to be God. And see, this theology that has brought sincere people into all these places called church and taught them the three God system by using the Word of God to prove a point that God is against. He told His people to raise their kids for years and years and lifetimes, teaching them every day, every morning, remind them there is only one God. There is only one God. Hear ye all Israel, there is only one God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Hallelujah. So we're not fighting anybody when we just speak what Jesus was speaking. Neither was He. He taught that God is a spirit. He wasn't fighting anybody. He was just making room for a little adulterous lady to find hope and become an evangelist. No matter how many people rise up 2,000 years later and say, we think all women evangelists and preachers are going to go to hell. Well, evidently God had a little bit of help there from one who was not even fully understanding what life's all about yet. She ran into Samaria and said, come and meet this man. Oh, come and see a man. I'm telling you, that's what preaching and witnessing is all about. I'm not here saying pro or con about lady preachers, but I want to tell you, the first real evangelist I read about in the Bible was a little lady that had been living with men and had been married 5 times, was living and shacking up right then. But she was thirsty and went to a well, and she found Jesus, who had told His disciples, I got to go to Samaria. I must needs go to Samaria. They didn't understand, because Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, much less a Samaritan woman had been married 5 times and shacking up. And so when they got to the well, the disciples said, we want to go to town and buy meat. So they just left Jesus there alone with that woman. And here she came. Conversation started, and in the midst of the conversation, Jesus said, God is a spirit. Hallelujah. And He said, from starting out asking for a drink of her, you know, give me a drink, there's a lot of depth and significance in His asking for a drink. He's asking you for a drink today. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you're coming from. Jesus is asking you for a drink. He wants to have a drink of your praise. He draws praise out of wells of salvation. He has planted a well within each one of us, but He wants it to spring up. Hallelujah. He said on the cross as He was dying, I thirst. He had said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all. All men, all people, I will draw. If I be lifted up, I will draw all humanity unto me. He wants to draw living water from the wells of salvation. And He said to the woman at the well, after asking her for a drink, He said, if you'd ask me for a drink, I would give you living water, or you would never thirst again. You would never thirst again. Hallelujah. And He went right on talking about living water and talking about one God. One God. One God. Until she finally said, well, I know the Messiah is coming someday. And He's going to make the crooked places straight and open the blinded eyes. We're going to learn all about that Messiah. And Jesus said, I that speak to you am He. And she ran into town and said, come and see a man. Come and see a man. Come and see this Jesus. Oh, if we could get some of these Pentecostals to do what that little lady did that day, we would fill up all of our churches who want to see Jesus for just who He is and what His name really means and what this is all about. Come and see this Jesus for yourself. Hallelujah. Come and see. Get understanding. You can see this for yourself today if you want to, or if you close your ears and say, I want to hear it the way I believe it. You're just deceiving yourself. If you learned it from a group of people or a person who was trying to make fun and mock the truth people by saying they're Jesus only. Why do they say that? They say it in a mocking spirit. Hey, we're Jesus everything. Jesus is in the Father, the Father is in Jesus. Jesus is the Father is Jesus. The reason His name is called Jesus, because it was commanded by the angel. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And it's just like some of those Jews had said the day He raised up the man from the sick of the palsy bed. And He said, your sins are forgiven. Some of them scratched their head and said, nobody can forgive sin but God only. Because the Jews didn't believe that God could be a man. They still don't believe it today that Jesus was the Christ, many of them. However, there's a lot of them that have gotten their eyes open. As they saw for understanding, God made all people equal. He brought down the middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. He counted all under sin. All with equal opportunity to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And the first people that got a hold of this thing, it was 120 Jews gathered together in an upper room. Hallelujah. So He didn't take it away from the Jews in order to give it to the Gentiles. But He made it available to the Jews and the Gentiles. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come see a man that taught me everything, or saw me and told me everything ever I did. These people knew her reputation. They knew what she was all about, where she'd been. They weren't surprised to hear her saying, come and see a man. Many of them probably been men who she had seen. But there's something about the way she said it. They went out and investigated. And when they came to that well and they found Jesus there, and He started talking to them, they saw it too. They started getting understanding. And the words came from one of the persons said, we believe. We're not believing because she said it, but we've seen it for ourselves. This is the Christ. We see this. This had a lot to do with opening the door for revival to come to Samaria. Amen. Because just a few years later, there was a man riding on a chariot. Amen. And there was a revival going on in Samaria. And that revival was going on in Samaria was so strong that the whole town was being just brought to their knees, and people were being healed, and people were being baptized in the name of Jesus. A man named Philip had gone there, and he was just being used of God. Just being used of God. And God instructed him to send for Peter and John. And they came over and prayed for all these folks who had been baptized and were being healed. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost all over Samaria. That door had been opened many years before when Jesus sat on a well. And I believe that little woman going into town telling people about Jesus had a lot to do with everybody being able to receive the message of Jesus when Philip went into Samaria. Amen. But while he was in this tremendous move of God, there was this tap on the shoulder from the Lord. Everything's going fine here. I want you to go to a dry place, to a desert place, to a small congregation. I want you to leave this great move of God you're experiencing, because I got one person who needs to know what you know. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I know that thousands are tuning in. Just like on one website alone, we have 2,000 that are visiting that site every moment of every day, just about. But we do know, and we have records that somewhere a million plus have tuned in to our peer-to-peer video casting. It goes around the world through a source in China. And we have records and signs of hundreds and hundreds that tune in, and thousands every service. And then besides that, I don't know where this will go, to somebody turning on maybe a TV. And I'm not saying any of this to make me look big. No, we're very small. We're just a little drop in the bucket as to what God would like for all of us to become. We're just a little beacon of light seen from a distance. But I'm hoping that somewhere out there in the world, one more person out of all the multitudes will see what that Ethiopian eunuch saw while riding in that chariot, as this man who'd been in a truth move of God came walking across the desert, and God said, go join yourself to that chariot. And he went up to the chariot and found the man reading the Word of God, reading the Word of God from the book of Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers. He opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I understand this? Let somebody show me." Philip joined himself and took the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. He took a book, a passage in Isaiah, and preached to him Jesus. Isaiah had been dead for hundreds of years, and that had been written for hundreds of years. But I'm telling you, when somebody's hungry for God, somebody needs to be there telling that person about Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Why do you think we're on the internet? Because somebody out there is reading the Word of God. That's why. Somebody out there, we're having revival. We're all set. We got the power of God moving in this place. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. We've been healed. We've seen miracles. We receive the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we preach to one another, but we don't have to have any more preaching to one another for us to go all the way to heaven from here. Our whole purpose for being on the internet, TV, or wherever you find yourself is to find one person reading the Word of God who wants to know, what's this all about? What is this all about? And we're going to take wherever you are and we want to preach to you, Jesus! There's power in the name of Jesus! There's salvation in the name of Jesus! There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's family problems resolved in the name of Jesus. There are churches filled revival with revelation of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! All your sins are washed away with a combination of the blood that came from Calvary and the power that's in the name of Jesus. We're buried with Him in water baptism in the name of Jesus. Get this understanding if you want to be a real Christian. If you want to be saved. This little patty cake stuff says, toot your horn if you love Jesus and sign a card, won't cut it. It's no... When you really get down to the terminal issue, the life and death struggle, the little sign in the card doesn't have the power you need. Hallelujah. Confessing with your mouth. Sure, it says it in the Bible. Who would deny that? It's right there in black and white in the Bible. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Thou shalt be saved. Amen. But that is written to a group of people that already had repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus and had the Holy Ghost, and they were having trouble getting in each other's hair and having disputes, and they were having arguments, and some of them were just plain old backslid. So they were saying, "Me and brother, what shall we do? Because we had the victory and now we've lost it." And they were instructed to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and go back and do your first works over. Get on your knees and repent again. Take that baptism that's an enduring baptism. That one act of obedience, that one baptism that you had that's still good. And call on the name of your Lord and you'll be saved. Hallelujah. That's a plan of salvation for Holy Ghost-filled Jesus' name church people. It's not for you if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. Your plan of salvation is beyond confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. If you really believe in your heart, your confession from your mouth will come as a result of you saying yes. Every time it says, the Bible says it right here, repent. And you do it with your mouth and with your heart. And be baptized, every one of you. Oh, that includes me. I confess, I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You become a yes person if you want to get in on this. Everything the Word of God says, you say, yes. Just like the ideal board of directors of a corporation. You know, if you own this big company, you like to surround yourself with yes people. We want to buy stock in so-and-so. Everybody... Yeah, it doesn't usually work that way. When I first came to Norwich, we had a yes church. We would go around and we got, you know, we'd have fun. We'd play. We'd like a young family of single people. And we're having a lot of fun traveling around. I would say something, everybody in church would say, "Yes, Brother Rutledge." Like a bunch of you know, parrots and parakeets. Whatever I'd say, yes, Brother Rutland. Everybody saying whatever I said. It was all in fun. And even today, sometimes I'll say something somebody doesn't understand, doesn't quite get, and they'll just look at me and say, yes, Brother Rutledge. But beyond that, you can say no to Brother Rutledge, but don't say anything but yes to God. Don't say anything but yes to God. Amen. Because God's not just looking for yes people to satisfy an ego that He has. He's looking for yes people who are willing to obey His command. Because God fixed it in His Word that this is a need. Jesus didn't come to the cross for the continuance of sin in your life. He didn't shed His blood so that everybody has to sin more or less every day. He didn't shed His blood so that you could be saved without obeying His command. That's not why He shed His blood. He shed His blood so that every creature could have one plan that would get you fully redeemed and all set to be able to please God through obedience. And it all has to do with dying out to sin, deny yourself, take up your cross, be crucified with Him. And He gives us the instruction of how to do it. Repent, turn away from sin, and be baptized. And it's later wrote about by different writers throughout the New Testament and the epistles. It's written about as when you are baptized in water by immersion in the name of Jesus, you're being buried with Jesus Christ. Buried with Him. Buried with Him in baptism. I would a lot rather be buried in water and able to rise again than to be buried in a grave dead. And I also would much rather worship God in spirit and truth with the liberty to raise my hands and holler, hallelujah, without everybody saying, shh, in church, than to go to a cold, dead, religious, sanctimonious cemetery and have to listen to all the garbage that there's three gods and you don't have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Like I said, I'm not fighting anybody. That website that has over 2,000 people on it right now visiting, looking at it, I made it for Trinitarian friends of mine. And it is filled with a lot of people that are well-known, have been well-known. I got some of the best noted well-known preachers of our time surrounding me on that page. And I'm there in love, and they're able to hear all their favorite preachers. But we're right in the middle of it saying what I'm saying today, that you need the name of Jesus called over you in baptism after having repented of your sin. And it's not your works. This is what God has done for you. This is the grace of God. This is the mercy of God. This is the goodness of God. This is the ability of God to lift you up from the grave and give you newness of life so that you can live victoriously in this life and go to heaven and live forever in happiness. Hallelujah. We're not there as enemies. We're there advertising. Come over and hear your favorite preacher. Because none of them will ever invite me to preach in their churches. So, I invited myself to preach with them on my website. Hallelujah. What's wrong with that? Because they're getting an understanding that somebody's misinforming somebody. It's not Jesus only, as they say it, but only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I'll tell you that. Hallelujah. Oneness Pentecostal, they say that in a smirk. They say it in a way that makes it look like that's a terrible thing to be. So I don't claim to be Oneness Pentecostal. I don't claim to be Jesus only. I just claim to be one that loves God and I want the truth. Isn't that what Christians should need and want? Hallelujah. I don't care what you call yourself, what you're associated with, what kind of organization you belong to. Truth of the matter, if you belong to an organization, you need to re-examine yourself because you need to only belong to God. I'm not saying you can't be associated with them. Sure, you can. But if you belong to anything that man has put together, you need to shake that loose from you and belong to God. Then take the God you belong to into your group and let Jesus be seen in your life. And when that happens, you won't be a fighter. You won't be a debater. You won't be trying to cause pain to everybody. You will be something that causes people to say, something different about that person. Kind of like that old guy, you know, don't believe him. Like Brother Dana, for years, roamed up and down these streets trying to figure out what to do with his life. And we became friends. And I said, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. He would go around telling people, you know, I like that religious fellow. He's just wrong on doctrine. No, he's just wrong. He's just wrong. And so he went for years like that all over this city. Said, I like that religion. He'd visit our church sometimes. He'd come along. He'd visit. He'd say, I like him. But and one night I preached, God is a spirit. And that really blew his mind. Remember that? God is a spirit. He went home trying to figure out, how could I say that? Because he saw it a different way. Years went by, and one day we saw him walk into the church with a humble look on his face. He said, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You know who got through to him? Jesus did. That's what we're hoping to happen. We're saying words, we're shouting, we're jumping around, we're wiping our lips, but the main thing, we're hoping Jesus will get through to you. If Jesus will get through to you, oh, that's all we want. If you get it from Jesus, you'll get it from the best. Hallelujah. And all you're getting, get understanding. And when you get it, don't get it from man. Get it from Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Get it from Jesus. So anyway, to wrap it up. Hallelujah. To wrap it up. Amen. Back to Acts 2:37. And the question comes. Now when they heard this, heard what? They heard this. The conclusion of a message Peter had just preached. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Capital L-O-R-D. The same spelling that later Paul, in writing, told the experience of what happened when he heard this voice, when he saw a light and he went blind and fell to the earth. And he heard this voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he looked up and he said, Who art thou, Lord? Capital L-O-R-D. That capital L-O-R-D, that spelling, if you look it up, That's the Lord God Almighty. That is Jehovah God. That is the, I guess, as a bona fide Trinitarian would say, that's the first person, God. That's God. Who are you, mighty God of heaven? That's what he was saying. Who are you, Lord God? It was a serious moment with him because who wouldn't be serious at a time like that when all of a sudden it's like lightning has struck you and you fall to the ground and you hear this voice saying, you're persecuting me. When you ask, so who are you? You're not going to have itching ears at that moment. You don't want some kind of theological understanding that came from somebody's textbook that had been handed down through the seminaries for years. You want to get it straight from the one who really knows who he is. Who are you, God Almighty? Trembling, he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord God of heaven, creator of all things, said, I am Jesus. And this is a message given to these people on that day. This Jesus that you have crucified. God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord, he has made him your God and your Christ. He's made him the first and the last, the beginning and the end, that which was and is to come, the Almighty. It was not robbery from God for Jesus to be called God, because God put all the fullness of the Godhead in Jesus bodily. The reason the angel said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from sin, is because that is the only name that can save people from sin. There's power in the name of Jesus to set you free from sin. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, then you missed what Calvary was all about and what the whole Word of God focuses on. That one act of obedience to God will do the same thing for you. Hallelujah. That it did for Peter, James, and John, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Men and brethren, when they heard this, men and brethren, they said, as they were being convicted in their hearts, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, including Matthew, men and brethren, what shall we do? My grandpa used to say it like this before he died back in the 60s. He said, I just love Matthew 28:19. That talks about teaching them to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He said, because when you squeeze Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:38 pops out. Hallelujah. You see, because there's one name mentioned in Matthew 28:19, the same name that's called here in response to this question. There's one name that satisfies who the Father is, who the Son is, and who the Holy Ghost is. When Jesus said, go teaching them to baptizing them in the name, he said, N-A-M-E, you read it for yourself, Matthew 28:19. Not names, not a plural of three gods with three names. If there are three persons in the Godhead, surely they all have a name. So what are the names? It's not names. It's one name. And there are three, and even more than three. There are three dynamic ways that God shows Himself, reveals Himself. He is God the Father in creation, the Son of God in redemption, and the power of God in the Holy Spirit experience. He is the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And when you have the Holy Ghost, you understand better, if you get baptized in His name, how all these three are one. Not three in one, but all these three are one. There's only one God. Only one God. And you can't talk about Jesus' name baptism without talking about one God. Because it's all together. Hallelujah. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So the answer was, repent. Everybody say repent. And be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins. Then what happens? Then you shall receive the Spirit of God in your life. And before that, you're not filled with the Spirit. And without the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Go to any church you want to go to, but you need the Holy Ghost, and you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you need to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. If you want to be called a real Christian, let us stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not organizational teaching. This is Jesus Christ teaching. This is what the apostles teach. And any group that teaches this, that calls themselves any kind of organization, if they teach this, it's because they got it from the apostles. That's why many times we are called apostolic, because we're teaching the apostolic doctrine in this place. And we love all people. And we've taught many times in many ways that we need to love people no matter where they go to church, what they call themselves, what they're affiliated with. We're not against the Trinitarian. Some of my best friends are Catholic people in this town. We pray together. We love each other. We read the Word of God together. We're pals. We're buddies. I'm not against anybody because you're Catholic, you're Methodist, or any of that. I'm just here because I do love you. We do love you. And we're not afraid to come into your church and worship God and be a witness and be thankful for what God has revealed to you and showed to you and how He has answered your prayers and how He has healed you when you were sick. We're not ashamed to be among you and be counted with you when you call yourself a Christian. We're not holier than anybody else, but the one that is holy is available for everybody, including those we associate with. And so we want to be there with you and for you. But if you want the fellowship with the saints that's available, then you might have to go a little deeper and climb a little higher. And you might even get kicked out of whatever you're part of. And when you get it all said and done, somebody's going to look at you and say, "You're Jesus only. You're one of them ones Pentecostals. You ain't all your kind." Like the little lady that went to one of these cold, frigid air churches. And the preacher said, "God's good." And she said, "Hallelujah." And everybody said, "Shh." And after a while, he said, "We serve a great, big, wonderful God." She said, "Amen." About the third time, when he said, "We need to be holy," she said, "Woo, glory." Two ushers came, took her by each arm. He said, "You're going to have to go. We're going to have to take you out." They led her down the aisle, opened the door, set her outside the door, and shut the door behind her. She walked down the steps, and she said, "Hallelujah, they got the building, but here goes the church." Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? Oh, thank you, Lord. We are thankful. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for one gospel, one message. Hallelujah, for making it real simple and real clear. Hallelujah. Reveal. Hallelujah. Perhaps today you're out there listening on the web, and maybe you're somewhere in some hut, some back alleyway, some small apartment where nobody knows that you're there but Jesus. Maybe you're gathered in a home with a lot of people that we don't know about yet. And some of you have gathered and you're asking the question, what do I do? Perhaps you've come here today in this facility and you've heard some words today that you have not yet adhered to. Then this message is for you. You are the ones we're talking about. Hallelujah. You are the one God was reaching for. No spirit of truth, no baptism, no repentance yet. This message was for you because He loves you. Hallelujah. And perhaps today, those who are church people have others on their mind that are not where they need to be with God. I welcome anyone to come and stand for them and stand for yourself and respond to the Lord. The reason why we do this is to give you a chance to overcome your fear and to tell God by demonstration, "God, I want this thing." Hallelujah. The night God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I left all the way from the back of the church. And I knew letting go of the chair for me that night, for me, man, I was saying, "Yes, Lord." I was giving in. This Holy Ghost I want. I'm not holding back anymore. Hallelujah. So wherever you are in the world or here, respond to what you heard today. Tell the Lord you'll do what He says to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus.
Oh,
Jesus.
Bless to the uttermost today, Lord.
There's just something.
Reveal yourself today. Open understanding today. God, to the many who are riding in their chariot.
Master.
Help them see, Lord, what they're reading. Jesus, bring them beyond bad doctrine. God, beyond traditions of men. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, reveal your holy name like you did for us. Thank you, Jesus. Fall on you. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's here. You need to supply. Jesus. Oh, my Jesus.
There's just something about
that holy name. Let that sound come forth. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And hallelujah, hallelujah.
Younger old, let him have you. Let those hands go in the air, let Jesus have you. Younger old, he wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's something, Jesus, about that name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, as you're still praying, I just want to say something for those who may not. It's easy for us, after we've received the Holy Ghost, to talk about receiving the Holy Ghost. But when we stop and we remember when we didn't have it, we didn't know what we were looking for. We just heard about the Holy Ghost. We were experiencing the drawing of God. But when we begin to call on Jesus' name, we didn't know really what was going to happen. And we didn't really know, you know, what we were calling on God really for until it happened. And so for your sake, we just want to let you know that we're not forgetting all that. And for you to find what you're looking for, it's a matter of just trusting God to call on His name, to pray, and then the Lord Himself will begin to work within you.
Yes, amen.
And it's a matter of just yielding yourself to God and let Jesus be God in you. And He'll show you what the Holy Ghost is all about, what speaking with tongues is all about. He'll reveal it. He'll reveal it. If you're hungry enough for it, it makes no difference what you're going to go for. It's coming from God. Give me it. That's it.
Yes.
Just want it with all your heart, and He'll take care of all the details. That's where you need to be right now. Do you want it with all your heart? It doesn't make a difference what you understand right now. He'll reveal. Do you want it?
Yes.
So before we go, one more time. Let's call on God together. I don't care if you're young or if you're old. If you're not yet filled with the Spirit of God, and you want God with all your heart, then let Jesus see that mouth moving and that heart talking. Shall we pray for one another too? Think of somebody that's beside you, calling God for them. If you have it, calling God for them. Jesus, Lord, as the apostles, as it was said today, came to Samaria to lay hands and to pray that they might receive the Holy Ghost. God, we're here one more time to help people, Lord, that they're not filled yet, but God, they want it. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we believe today. We're in a place where living waters flow. Hallelujah. Fill them with your Spirit. Help them, Lord, to just to yield themselves to you and to trust you, to know it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Lord, every young child, Lord, that's called on you before, we're praying for them right now. God, we're praying for all these young people, Lord, for Erica, for Lydia, for Jenna, and for Josh, Lord, and hallelujah for Leah, and hallelujah for, praise God, for Cynthia, Lord, and for Angel, and for James, and for Thomas. Praise the Lord. And one of these days, little Hannah, God, we're praying for these young people. God, you'll deal with them. Hallelujah, that you'll deal with them.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. And all the rest that are here, Lord. Praise the Lord for John and for the many that are here. Glory for James, for Sophie.
Yes.
Hallelujah, God, for the many that are in our minds right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to be like that woman at the well. No matter how long we've had this, hallelujah, Jesus, we know how special it can be. Praise the Lord. Illuminate our prayer lives, or illuminate those morning prayers, and help us just to walk in a day full of expectation, God. And help us to say few but accomplish much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah.